Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit and began working in his parents' convenience stores at age 9. He's the president and CEO of the Michigan Food and Beverage Association and founder of the Michigan Business and Professional Association. He's the founder of Scouting for the Handicap, the chairman of the Salvation Army for Southeast Michigan, and the co-founder of Metro Detroit Youth Day. He's known as the mayor of Belle Isle. His name, Ed Deeb, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Ed Deeb, the president and CEO of the Michigan Food and Beverage Association. Ed, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Glad to be here, Jack. Thanks for inviting me.
Can you start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Certainly. I was fortunate as a child. I grew up and lived a life as a child. You can't do that today because there are too many pressures, peer pressure, school pressures, and so on. So I enjoyed it and then lucked out by working as a kid in the back room of my parents' stores and sold penny candy to the kids and did the returnable bottles in the back of the store and so on. So I learned quite a bit about responsibility. And from my parents, I learned a lot about how to understand your customers, to their needs, what they need, and how to be friendly to them, how to have them be respectful to you. And so you learn a lot of things in a retail store. I think you learn more in a retail store than anywhere.
Did they pay you?
Well, I had all the potato chips, candy, and gum that I wanted, but that was it until later on. And my first real job, though, Jack, was not in the store, but was with Michigan Bell Telephone Company after high school. I worked for 2 years before I went on to college up at Michigan State, and I was a telephone installer, believe it or not, put telephones into the homes and businesses, and I learned quite a bit about how to do that, and it was very interesting.
Specifically, what did your folks teach you about running a business?
Well, they taught me that if you're going to run a business, you've got to be in the business all the time. There's no absentee management, and you had to be there, and you had to make sure that you had procedures on handling different things so that everybody knew how to do it, and we didn't have any glitches, or we minimized the glitches if there were any. And so you'll learn the responsibility of taking care of business, being sure that everything was in the right place at the right time, and how to deal with customers.
What did they tell you about dealing with people, customers?
Well, the old adage, your customer is always right, no matter what. And many times we knew they weren't, but we told them they were anyway, and it helped resolve the problems, eliminated any frustrations, and you got along with them, and you had a repeat customer at the same time.
You get out of college, and soon thereafter, you get hired by the Michigan Food and Beverage Association. What is that all about?
Well, Michigan Food and Beverage Association is a trade organization that is in the food industry, the food and beverage industry, and we have members who are retailers, convenience stores, local chains, restaurants, fast foods establishments, and their suppliers to these stores and establishments, wholesalers, brokers, jobbers, and people like that. And so you cut across the whole industry. And part of the importance is that you provide services and benefits that your members want or demand. And you fulfill those things like group insurance of all types, or health insurance, group health insurance, or discount programs for your office supplies, or free legal clinics with lawyers, or free accounting clinics with the CPAs. or representing them in Lansing and Washington so that justice and fair play prevails across the board. And these are the sort of things that you do, among other things.
You're still, after 40-plus years, you're still the president, CEO. You've got 3,100 members. Yeah. How has the role changed through the years?
Well, the big role is that you have many of these larger stores, such as Myers and Kroger and Farmer Jack and Walmart and Costco and Sam's Club. These are the real competitors today. So the independent entrepreneur, the mom-and-pop stores, have a rough go. But they can compete if they're smart and offer services and products that you normally can't get at the larger store, and you'll maintain that loyalty of customers.
Let's talk about entrepreneurs. You've been around them your whole life. What do they have in common?
Well, I think the one thing they have in common to me, and I've talked to numerous people along the way, is that they desire to be their own boss. They want to start their own business. They want to manage it themselves. They want it to grow by their own means and ways. And as a result, they become big successes because they know the value to be a successful entrepreneur. You can't work an 8-hour day. You got to work 12, 14 hours a day minimum. And that's until you paid off the bills. And then maybe perhaps you can cut a few hours off after that. But if you're willing to work hard, you can become very successful as an entrepreneur, very successful.
You see couples that go into business together. The ones that have been successful, what do they have in common?
Well, they have in common is what we call the family business. You know, the more people you have in your family that can work in your business, the less you really have to either pay or you pay the minimum wage, so consequently you have a better chance of succeeding than if it were an outsider.
We're talking to Ed Deeb. When we come back, we'll ask him about the Michigan Business and Professional Association, which he created in 1987. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Ed Deeb, the founder of the Michigan Business and Professional Associations. It's 1987 and you start this association. What's its mission and why did you do it?
Well, the Michigan Business and Professional Association, which today has some 21,000 members and they employ 160,000 persons throughout the state of Michigan, actually evolved from the Michigan Food and Beverage Association. When we started our group insurance plans, particularly the health insurance plans, with Blue Cross and Blue Shield at the time, many of the attorneys, the CPAs, the architects, the construction people heard about them having this benefit and called to see if they can join the Food and Beverage Association who have these benefits. And we saw no reason why they couldn't, and so we brought them aboard until somebody objected and said, well, these are food people. They shouldn't have that. So we created the Business and Professional Association to really take care of those people who are not in the food business. But, of course, today, with so many years going by, we even have food people in the Michigan Business and Professional, but mainly they belong to the Food and Beverage Association. So it evolved out of necessity from one to the other to be able to allow the non-food people to have the same coverages and benefits.
You've been to Lansing unbelievable number of times to beg and borrow and petition. If you could get Lansing to change one thing in this state to help these 21,000 small business people employing 160,000, what's the one thing you would have them change?
The one thing I would urge the state legislature and the governor to do is to create incentives for these small businesses and other people that want to get into business. You've got to provide these incentives for two reasons. You want to compete with other states who are grabbing a lot of the business from the state of Michigan. And secondly, you want to be able to provide incentives for those who are in business. And one of the big things they can do is to eliminate the single business tax, which has been bandied about for the last 6 months. And that would really help. For one reason, it's taxing businesses that don't even make a profit. Now, how can you do that? How can you tax somebody that's not making a profit? So you want to be able to provide these incentives to be able to keep these people moving on and growing and hiring more people and so on.
How do you answer the people that say it's a catch-22? If we eliminate the single business, we lose all that tax revenue. We just can't afford to do it.
Well, the single business tax was not supposed to be a long-lived tax to begin with. It was supposed to be eliminated after so many years, and that's coming up anyway. And I think the state would have to cut down some of the services, and some of the business people would have to understand that they might have to pay something in a tax, but not the high rate of the SBT. So it's a compromise factor there.
For 45 years, Ed, you've balanced the needs of everyday people with those of small businesses. How have you done it?
Well, I think you do this because you've got to have a positive mental attitude. You have to have a life of enthusiasm and wanting to help people. And you have to provide a lot of personal service. And we've grown mainly on the philosophy of personal service. And it's the same philosophy we ask the small business people to do to compete with the large stores. Provide these services that they cannot provide, and they're going to continue to be loyal to your business. And when people call us, they have a problem. We actually engage in that problem to help them resolve that problem. We don't say to them, like some associations do, well, I'm sorry, we can't handle that. Call your attorney. He'll be able to handle that for you. Well, no, we'll take the bull by the horns, and we try to help solve the problem. And they recognize that, and I think that's a big plus for us, and it's a satisfaction to our members that they can do that. They can call and get service.
Some people think that business owners are crooks and users of other people, the fat cats. What do you say to those people?
Well, I agree the small business people are hard workers, and by virtue of working hard, you're able to generate more income than normal because you're not working your typical 8 hour a day. You're working these 12, 14 hours a day, and you're able to hopefully save some of that money to either renovate your business if it needs it, or redecorate it, or buy a second store or a third store, whatever has to be done. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I would venture to say that, you know, 99% of the small businesses are hard workers and honest people. They're honest people. They contribute to the community. They're part of the community, and they want to give back something. And I think more people understand these entrepreneurs, the small business today, than they may have, let's say, 30 years ago when we were resolving the problems in the inner city between store owners and the citizens there, which helped us actually create and found the Metro Detroit Youth Day as a result of that. We wanted to show the kids that who were causing some problems at the time, the business community in particular and the community at large cared about them. And we went out to show that we cared by doing things, and we created this beautiful day at Belle Isle. They come and spend the whole day away from their home. They get a nice free lunch in the middle of the day. They have sports activities. They have mentors. They have contests. They have golf, football, basketball, tennis, martial arts, have everything.
Are you optimistic about the future of Detroit itself?
Yes, I'm very optimistic.
Why?
Well, I'm optimistic because our time has really come and gone. We should have been there 30 years ago, a generation ago. And I see the city starting to build and do things they're supposed to do. and it's helping improve the community. I see downtown coming alive as a result of the All-Star Game and the Super Bowl. I see the plans that have been built for Eastern Market, historic Eastern Market, which I help revitalize that area. And we're bringing kids back to the city instead of moving elsewhere. They're working in Detroit. And so it's working out.
Can you talk a little bit about the specific plans for Eastern Market? Because you've been a leader for decades in that Eastern Market.
Yes, we're finally getting the city and the private sector to work together. And that's what it takes. We've had two entities down there, and each one going in a different direction. We're going to work with the foundations, generate the revenue to modernize the farmer sheds, to bring more retail shops, more restaurants, more ambiance, similar to Faneuil Hall in Boston, Pike's Market in Seattle, and other cities. And we've got the largest outdoor farmers market in the country, and we're going to start taking advantage of it and giving the people what they deserve.
We're talking to Ed Deeb, who in 1981 co-founded Metro Detroit Youth Day, and we'll talk a little bit about that annual event when we come back. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Ed Deeb, who's known as the mayor of Belle Isle. Ed, on July 12th of this year, we're going to celebrate the 24th annual Metro Detroit Youth Day on Belle Isle. 29,000 youngsters will be there. How did it get started?
Well, it got started in about 1981 when there were altercations between young people and store owners on Livernois Avenue between 6 and 7 Mile Road. And the kids were tormenting these store owners, running in, grabbing a bottle of wine or grabbing something and running out, and the store owner running after them. And this got to be a very tragic situation, in that there were, in two-week period, two young people and one store owner shot and killed. Working with then-Mayor Young, we were able to restore the peace in the neighborhood. And he held conferences with the citizen groups. I held conferences with store owners. And he asked them to be more understanding of the retailers, and I asked the retailers to be more understanding of their customers. Be courteous, be respectful, don't talk a foreign language in front of them because they think you're talking about them. And so we got through the hot summer. And to his credit, Mayor Young, in November, when it was much cooler, called another meeting, and he at that meeting had the NAACP, Detroit Urban League, the City Council, New Detroit, the Police Department, everybody was there, including me. And what happened was that he asked me point blank, Ed, what are we going to do next year to prevent this sort of a problem? And I says, Mr. Mayor, are you talking to me or are you talking about everybody around the table? He said, well, Ed, I'm talking to you to carry the ball, but I'm really talking about everybody around the table to help out. And so I get a call the next day from Tom Fox of Channel 2 and Jerry Blocker, and we met for breakfast, and we ultimately created Metro Detroit Youth Day, which has been a huge success.
Once again, it's this July 12th. You'll have 900 adult volunteers from 180 different companies. Ed, how can we learn more?
Well, they can call our office at 586-393-8800 and ask to send the registration forms for the kids or ask to volunteer, and we'll be happy to have you there.
We're with Ed Deeb, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Ed Deeb, the founder of Scouting for the Handicap, which he founded in 1984. Ed, talk about Scouting for the Handicap.
Well, I was doing some volunteer work for Easter Seals and saw a lot of the disabled and handicapped kids. And I happened to pick a little article, a little AP story out of Texas, Dallas, Texas. They had this program for handicapped scouts, and we didn't have such a program at the time. So I called the office, was on the board of directors at the time. I said, well, I'd like to start a new program for handicapped scouts, and we did. We called it Scouting for the Handicapped, which is now part of the Trailblazer unit for the Boy Scouts. And we started out that first year with 30 or 40 kids, mostly in wheelchairs. And today I'm happy to say that we serve more than 4,200 kids throughout the Metro Detroit area as a result of this program. Both boys and girls participate in this particular program, Scouting for Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. And then we have them at Belle Isle during the Metro Youth Day. We have a special place on the roads where they can wheel the wheelchair easily. And they love the program, and we love working with them.
You're also the chairman of the Salvation Army for Southeast Michigan. Why did you get involved with that?
I don't know if you recall the musical Guys and Dolls with Marlon Brando, Frank Sinatra, and all these movie stars. It dealt with a do-good organization that was trying to prevent the gamblers from gambling and turning their lives around. And that reminded me of today's Salvation Army. I happened to be at the downtown hotel one day, ran into the chairman of the Salvation Army, I told him about this story. He said, well, if that's the case, I want you involved with us here in Detroit. So I got involved and was on the board for about 24 years. The commander at the time, his name was Clarence Harvey, who's still active. He's retired but still active with the Salvation Army. And that's how it all got started. And I've been very involved. My biggest thrust this year as chairman has been to work with the news media. We worked very hard, and incidentally, Mike Feasey and WJR are working very closely with us. They've adopted this program. And one of the key things coming up in the next year or so is the $1.6 billion grant that the Salvation received nationally, Salvation Army received, to build youth centers throughout the country. And they've already granted $25 million here in Detroit, and we're going to build the center in the Chandler Park area on the west side of Chandler Park. Beautiful new facility. But part of the requirements is that we had to match, we had to raise funds to match the grant so that we can keep it up and maintain the building and premises over the years and not let it fall run down.
I believe that Joan Kroc was the one that gave the $1.6 billion.
She and her husband formed the Ray and Joan Kroc Foundation. They were the founders of McDonald's Corporation. And then after he died, her favorite charity was the Salvation Army. And she made the grant. Of course, he was also involved with the Salvation Army as well. So it was quite a nice thing, great thing for them to do nationally. And we're delighted to be one of the areas that was going to have one of these centers, a state-of-the-art center for the kids. And it's an Olympic-sized swimming pool. We're going to have all kinds of activities. They're going to have performing arts, song, dance, so on, drama in the building. It's going to be more than just a swimming pool in a gymnasium.
All right, so they're given $25 million, and you have to come up with $25 additional million. How much of that have you raised, and how are you going to do it?
Well, we're going to be working closely with a lot of the leaders here locally, and we've got Wayne Doran, formerly of Ford Motor Company, is our chairman, along with Al Taubman. And we have a Blue Ribbon committee of many prominent people who want to help us. And we're going to have a kickoff in July 23rd at Chandler Park to kick off the celebration for the center. And a year from now, we're going to have this huge festival at Ford Field, bringing in all parts of the Salvation Army and the community, and even some national singing stars coming in for this big thing. And it's going to be quite a thing to help bring the community together and to show that we're doing something of a positive nature through this youth center. And it's going to be quite a show.
Anybody that meets you, Ed, and listens to your story, hears a phrase over and over. It's like a broken record, over and over. I got involved, I got involved, I got involved. Did your mom and dad ever teach you to say no?
Well, no, they never did. But, you know, it's one of those things in the position that I have with so many members and so many problems that exist. And you just have to jump in and help them. There's no other way. And I enjoy doing that. I'm very grateful. I have a very understanding wife, Joanne, who has been very solidly behind me. She understands what I'm doing and what I have to do, and she's been with me 100%, and I thank her for that.
In these tough times, a lot of people are discouraged. You know, they're questioning their future. Change is tough for everybody. What advice would you give those listeners?
Well, I'd give them the advice that they have to take a deep breath and start making a thorough list of the do's and don'ts that they want to do, and what can they afford, what they cannot afford, and be able to choose something that is practical and make them happy, whether it be finding a new job or whether it be starting their own business as an entrepreneur. And many of the people who are retiring right now are starting their own business because they didn't know what to do other than they have some talent and they want to start a business in that talent, with that talent.
You and your daughter recently bought Corp magazine. Why did you do it, and what's the purpose of that magazine?
Well, ironically, we were evaluating a revamp of our current magazine, Association Spotlight, which we have been giving to our members over the years. And when we heard that that magazine might be available and had a circulation of 52,000 throughout the state of Michigan compared to our 21,000, we thought this would be a great opportunity to not only provide this magazine to our members of the Food and Beverage Association and the Michigan Business and Professional Association, but to the people who are not members who want to subscribe and have the magazine there. So it came at a very propitious time for us, and we went ahead and did that with the understanding that this would help both our members and the current readers who were non-members.
For 45 years, your association has been a United Nations, diverse people from all over the world. And as we have more and more globalization, you know, the world is flat, Tom Friedman's book. What advice do you give our listeners about diversity?
Well, we have to understand that we are a nation of all types of people. We're very diverse already. We just have to channel the energy, bring everybody together, be understanding of each other, and work with each other without all the pettiness and friction and problems that exist over the years. So we've got to understand that we're all in this thing together, and that's the only way we're going to resolve these problems is by working together and helping each other. And whether you be of Italian background or Arabic background or German or Hispanic or African-American or whatever it might be, we have to work together.
We're talking to Ed Deeb, who was a Michiganian of the Year in 2002. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Crisula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Ed Deeb, the chairman of the Salvation Army for Southeast Michigan. Ed, you'll never be confused for the Donald. You're prettier than the Donald. You always give to others. You always help others. Why?
Well, you know, you grow up in a world where people need help. People are hungry. People are homeless. And you want to help them. I mean, you know, I just one of those people that can't stand to see people who are helpless or homeless or hungry and do nothing about it. And the other thing I try to do is I try to recognize those individuals who are helping others, who are doing something. And I came up with the phrase flowers for the living. And the way I did that is you go to a funeral home, you see all the people gathered around the casket praising the person there, oh, wonderful person, so on and so forth. And I'm saying to myself, why didn't they say this to this person while they were alive to hear the flowers that were being given? And so I made it my business that anybody that did anything good and worthwhile, that they should be recognized for something or another. So we'll either give them a plaque or a certificate or a little memento of some kind, and that I call flowers for the living, so they can hear the words of extolling their virtues while they're alive. And I think that's a good thing.
What would you say to someone who says, I'm too busy to give back? You know, I'm fighting for the almighty dollar. I'm trying to raise the family. We got to get the second house. You know, in another 20, 30, 40 years, I'll have the time and the inclination to give back.
Jack, you've always heard the phrase that when you want something done, give it to a busy man or a woman. And I believe that. And I believe that people can make time to be involved in their community, especially their immediate community where they live and reside or do business. And if they're given the chance, they should make the time to be involved and not make excuses that they don't have the time, because I don't think people accept that anymore, really.
A week ago, I had Mitch Albom on. And I said, Mitch, you've interviewed thousands of guests, every one of them living their dream. What do they have in common? And he said, Jack, they all lack one thing. They lack one thing: fear. Why is it that some take risk and others are paralyzed by fear?
I think it could be the training, it could be the upbringing, could be the education, could be many factors here. But I've noticed that those that are willing to take the calculated risk are those that probably have more success than those that are not willing to take that extra step or the calculated risk. Those that are willing to do so may not always succeed, but 90% of them do. And this is the beauty of entrepreneurship. They have that opportunity to grab the bull by the horns and go and create something and make it a success.
I listened to a speech you gave recently and said, quote, don't go where the path may lead. Go where there is no path and leave a trail.
Yeah, I believe that. And I was very happy when my son George graduated Grosse Pointe North High School. He was the speaker, commencement speaker. That was the theme of his talk, and it is a sign of leadership, actually, where you don't have a path, you've got to create your own path. And if you're successful in that path, people are going to see that and they're going to follow that path. They're going to say, well, this person already created that path, and here it is, and might as well follow that path and be a success as well. Lewis and Clark did the same thing when they explored the Northwest Territory. And now we've got all these paths that they took that people follow.
It's kind of like Yogi Berra, you know, when you come to a fork in the road, take it.
So, yeah.
All entrepreneurs are optimists. Some would argue they're hopeless optimists. And in that sense, you are a quintessential entrepreneur. You're 70 years old. How long are you going to keep working and helping others?
Well, as long as God gives me the ability to get up early, as I do automatically, 5 o'clock every morning, and be able to get to my office and help people and help our members And enjoy what you're doing. And that's the key. You must be able to enjoy what you're doing. I know so many people that are unhappy with what they're doing, and that makes the world of difference, because if you're not happy, you don't feel like accomplishing anything. You don't feel like doing anything. So as long as God gives me the ability to keep on going, I'll keep on going. And when he tells me that I can't do it anymore, then that's the time I probably won't.
What dreams or goals do you still have?
Well, one of the things I enjoy doing quite a bit are two things. I enjoy reading espionage novels, very much so. I mean, every time I find one, I buy it and read it immediately. I would like to write an espionage novel on corporate espionage, what's going on, not on a war basis, but what's going on today in corporations and so on. And I enjoy playing the clarinet. I have been playing since 7 years old. Got through Michigan State on a tuition scholarship for 4 years, which really was, in those days, a godsend for me. Played in the marching band, concert band for that scholarship. And I enjoy performing music as well, enjoy classical music.
Come to think of it, you look a little bit like James Bond. Has anyone ever told you that?
No, no, they haven't told me that.
Anything is possible.
But his movies are terrific.
Let's go forward 10 years. 10 years from now, Michigan is doing terrific. The economy is doing great. What will have changed from 2006 to 2016?
Well, I think the big change that we will see is that Michigan has become more a diverse state, attracting more of our outstanding students and scholars, because we're going to be doing more than just the automobile business. With Automation Alley and some of these other things that we have, we're going to start bringing back some of that technology and talent that we need to keep this thing going. We're probably going to be involved in many more retail stores and more shopping centers and so on, and more competitively than before. And but I think basically Detroit will have come around, Michigan will have come around. We should have done that a generation ago. Cleveland had its turn, Pittsburgh had its turn, Baltimore had its turn. Well, we're entitled to our turn. And if we don't all work together, and if we don't bring some of the mass transit that we need, at least to the airport and back, and maybe up Woodward, at least those two corridors, then we're not going to be accomplishing much. There's a lot of jobs open at the airport, but the people that want to work can't get there. So we got to create some kind of a mass transit system to get those people to the airport and create those jobs.
What role has faith played in your life?
I'm a very faithful person, faithful Christian, and I believe in God. Maybe some people may not believe as much after reading the Da Vinci Code and so on, but that is strictly a fiction book and movie as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the church is concerned. But you have to have faith. Faith is one of the fundamental things for you to be able to take that calculated risk. You got to have faith that you can do it, that you can do things like that. And so faith plays a key role in my life.
Final question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, I would tell them to, by all means, don't stop their education. They got to get their education, high school and college for sure. And I'd have them reach for the stars and at least touch the moon and have big dreams, because if they don't do it, they're not going to be able to have the fruits of the benefits of success that many of us have already.
Ed, thanks much for coming on. Thanks much for 45 years of giving back. You truly live the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure being here with you. Thank you.
Please join next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything truly is possible. Spawn.